Easter Sunday 2017. I'm going to read Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 10. The new life, the new life. It's the first Sunday of Easter. Today is Easter Sunday, but we celebrate Easter, Christians do, for 50 days, all the way to Pentecost, all the way to the formation of the church. And one of the reasons that we do this is found in Colossians chapter 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, and slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Heavenly Father, let the same power that raised Jesus from the dead live in us to bring about the new life. So for the next 50 days, Father, we'll keep looking above. We'll keep looking to you, that we can put off the old self and put on the new self, put on the new life because of the resurrected power of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, let it be so. Amen and amen. Number one in your bulletins: believers are connected to the resurrection of Jesus. Believers are connected to the resurrection of Jesus. Easter Sunday, churches around the world celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ that happened 2,000 years ago. And today, specifically at Living Hope Assembly of God, we are considering the resurrection of Jesus Christ bringing us a new life, believers a new life, and a new self. Some think religion is a crutch. Some think Christianity is a crutch. It's a way of dealing with life when you cannot deal with life in your own strength, your own power. So you need this strength, need this crutch. But all of us, in one way or another, have to find ways to deal with life, because life comes at us pretty fast. And we can't deal with life on our own. We get jobs to support ourselves. We get married because we don't want to live life alone. We take medicine when we are ill. All of these help us to deal with life. But it turns out we have to look for ways to deal with the stress that we're from the job that we got to support ourselves. And it turns out we have to find ways to deal with the struggles that come from being married to someone that's not like us. And no matter how much medicine we take, we can't always fight off sickness. So we're always looking for ways to get by in life. We're looking for ways to deal with anger. We're looking for ways to deal with bitterness. And we're looking for ways to deal with addiction and family problems and anxiety, and on the list could go. And sooner or later, we realize we have a limp. And we're walking along with this limp, and we need a crutch to get through life. So many people will come to God as a crutch for support. And I believe that's okay at first, because God is our support. We do cast all of our cares upon Him. He does care for us, and He does carry us. I believe that. But we must realize that He, that God, that Christ, is more than just a crutch. We realize what He offers, what the resurrection of Jesus Christ offers us, is a new life and a new self. A new life empowered by Him, where we are not always just limping along through life, not going to make it through life, always having to find something new and something new. Not that Christians are perfect, and not that we don't limp through life even as Christians on many occasions, but we get to the place where we have a new life and we know we are going to make it, and we know He is in control, and we know we don't have to find something new to lean upon. Well, Colossians 3, 1 through 10 is referring to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it is connecting it to those who believe in Christ, connecting the resurrection to believers. It is also outlining a basic ethical response that those who believe in Christ, how they should act through life. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He is to be found currently above, Colossians said, seated at the right hand of God. He's above. He's Lord over. He's Lord over all. We think of God as being above. We think He's, you know, beyond the Milky Way and the stars and the planets. That's not what above means. That's not what Paul means. When he says above, it means He is Lord over all. He's Lord over our families. He's Lord over our minds, our hearts, our souls. Lord over our work. Every situation we face, He is Lord, and we must believe in Him. We must apply our life to that. And He is seated at the right hand of power. The right hand of God is the right hand of power. A ruler would sit down at the right hand, and that showed that they had power, they had authority. All power and all authority has been given to me. So He has all power in this world. You think other things, other forces have the power in the world, in this world, but He says all authority has been given to me. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ connects us to the Lord, who is over all and who is ruling in power. And we, as believers, we identify with the death of Jesus, and we die to this world, to earthly things that He demands, that He calls us to. And we have a new life by faith in Jesus. That's what the resurrection provides for you. That's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ provides for us. So, number two, get serious. Get serious, man. Come on. Get serious about living this new resurrection life with Jesus. Don't just shuffle along, our eyes to the ground, absorbed on the things that are right in front of us, bumping into things. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Jesus, around Christ, to the things that He is involved in and wants us to be involved in as well, because that's where real life is. That's where the action will be. See things from His perspective. A Christian is described as being raised with Christ. Raised with Christ. That is common language of salvation in the New Testament. You're raised with Christ. So the power of God that resurrected Jesus from the grave is the same power that makes us, that were spiritually dead, It makes us alive to a new life. His resurrection makes us alive to a new life, to a new self. Faith is so powerful. Faith in Jesus is so powerful. It creates such a close bond with Jesus Christ that what happened to him happens to us and in us. Selah. It's a mystery. It's sacred. But our faith in what happened to Jesus is so powerful. His resurrection, and when we have faith in that, it is so powerful. There's such a close bond that what happened to him happens to us. The same Spirit, the same God who raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us. It's a great mystery for those who believe. And even if you just have a little bit of faith, a little bit of mustard seed of faith. You say, I haven't been a Christian that long. I don't even know if I got all this figured out. That's okay. That's okay. If you just have a little bit of faith, if you have said, yes, Lord Jesus, then the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Lives in you. Even if you don't have all the answers. If you don't have the answers, you're in the right place, because I don't have all the answers. But I know he lives in me. So we are raised to a new life. And the source of this new life is based upon what Jesus has done for us, not anything we can do for ourselves. It is based upon his sinless life, that he paid for our sins on the cross, that he rose from the grave. This is how God has chosen to give us new life, because of the life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. That's how we receive the new life. So if you have put your faith in Christ, you have been raised to new life. Right now. Right now. You say, you didn't see what I did yesterday. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So right now. Right now. But you got to get serious about this. Get serious about this. If you put your faith in Christ today, you will be raised to new life. Today, you will be given a new self today. So get serious. We get serious about a lot of things. We get serious about our jobs. You're very serious about your job. We get serious about money. We get serious about sex. We get serious about relationships. We get serious about entertainment. Why can't we get serious about our new life, our new self in Jesus Christ? And when I say serious, I don't mean get staunch, but serious, no laughing. I don't want that. If that's what it is, you can have that. And some people, don't you want to serve Jesus like me? No, I don't. When I say get serious about it, I mean my new life, my new self is important. It is the most important to me. And since it is, therefore, number three, your old life is dead. Your new life is with Christ in God. Your old life is dead. Your new life is with Christ in God. And that scares many people, maybe even most people. Dying to the old ways, putting the old ways behind us. It just scares us. It scared me at first. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. I don't know if I'm going to be able to die to the things and put behind me the things that used to bring me comfort and bring me happiness and bring me joy, and they help me get through life. And it scares us many times. Until we get to the point where we realize our old life was bringing death upon us. Those things that we thought were comforting us and leading us and guiding us and giving us life, it turns out they were really bringing death. But your new life in Christ is your real life, because it brings life and it looks like life and it is life, because He is your life and He is life. In Him is life. So if you have put your faith in Christ, make Christ the new priority in your life. If you have believed in Him, if you have confessed Him with your mouth, believed it in your heart, now make Him your first priority. Well, how do we make Christ a priority? Many translations have this as their translation of this verse. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is. And set your mind on things that are above where Christ is. So keep seeking and set your mind on things that are above. Exercise our wills made alive by faith in Christ. Do something. Keep seeking. Set your mind on things above. See, the life of faith is a life oriented around Christ and what Christ values, in contrast to those things that are opposed to Christ or would distract us away from Jesus Christ. See, putting our faith in Christ is the beginning, not the end, of seeking Christ. Faith in Christ is a lifelong pursuit of relationship with Christ. Faith in Christ is a lifelong seeking and setting our minds on Christ. And this is difficult to do. And Paul knows this is difficult to do, even for believers to orient their lives around Christ. It's difficult for us to orient our lives around anything because we're human and we're all inconsistent. Humans, man and woman, teenagers are inconsistent. We say we're gonna go to the gym. We're gonna orient our life around the gym. But we're kind of inconsistent. I used to orient my life around sports. I watched football, college, and pro. I watched baseball. I loved the Atlanta Braves. I watched golf. I loved all the majors. I watched auto racing. I loved that number 8, then 88, and I loved that number 3. Oh, I watched every race, start to finish. I watched it all. And there's nothing wrong with watching sports. There's not. But I've noticed over the last few years that I hardly watch any sports anymore. I was inconsistent. It wasn't watching sports is not wrong. Orienting your life around sports is wrong, because your team's going to lose, and then you're going to be upset. And it's going to bring death, and you're going to fight with your cousin who's going to say, ha, ha, ha. Go green, blasphemy. So we're inconsistent. So Paul uses the present tense imperative. He says, keep seeking, because he knows we're inconsistent. And a good translation would be, keep setting your mind on things above, because he knows we're inconsistent. So you have to keep seeking and you have to keep setting. It signals an ongoing action, a continual need to reorient and reset our life on Christ. We had these things when I was growing up called VCRs. You remember those? I got a Blu-ray player now. Thank you, dear. She got it for my birthday. But we had VCRs, and we bought my mother a VCR for Christmas one year, and it was one of these big things, you know. They were huge back then. And they had the clock, the time, real big, you know, right there on the front. And when the power would go out and it would come back on, do you remember what it would blink? What was it? 12, 12:00, 12:00, blink, 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 blink. And my mother being electronically challenged, no matter how many times we showed her how to reset the clock, she could not do it. And being the genius that she is, she came up with a plan. She would take some Kleenexes out of the Kleenex box and get one of her knickknacks that sat on top of the VCR and drape those Kleenexes over the blinking 12 to hide it and wait for someone who knew how to reset the VCR to reset the time. When a believer's life gets off track, when the power goes off, or when the ability to access the power in our life goes off, many will just stay in the dark and don't want the power to come back on. They walk away completely. But other times we cover up our life with things from our old life, so we can't see that our life needs to be reset. Instead of saying, I need to reset my life, I know what time it is. It is time for me to be alive in Christ. We cover those things up. So we have to keep seeking Him. Keep resetting our life on Him. Resetting our minds on Him. Seek Him by setting your minds on Him, because that is where the myriad of distractions are, is in our mind. Our mind gets distracted, so we have to reset our mind on Him. Our minds will divert our attention and our affections away from Christ. So this is what I do. Every movie, every book, every song, every relationship I have, Christ is the center. Always. Well, sometimes I have to reset, and so do you. But yes, yes. Now, that doesn't mean I only read Christian as an adjective books, Christian as an adjective movies, Christian as an adjective television shows. I don't even like using Christian as an adjective. That's a personal pet peeve of mine. What it means is I'm always looking for Christ in all things. What it means is I'm always asking, what does Christ say about this? What it means is I'm always getting away from the things Christ wants me to get away from. And my wife will get frustrated with me because we'll watch a movie and I'm always looking for these deep spiritual insights in every movie. And I say, did you see the resurrection in that movie? She said, dear, it was just Finding Nemo. Just let it go. It wasn't there. I'm always looking for Christ, everywhere and everything, because He's Lord. He is in all, Paul said. He's Lord of all, above all, and in all. I'm always looking for Christ. And one day when Christ, your real life, remember your real life, when He shows up on this earth again, and we believe and confess that will happen, then the real you will completely show up. The glorious you, the glorified you. Why? Because you spent years and years and years seeking and years resetting your mind and your heart and your life on the things of Christ. And on that day, sin will be forever eradicated from us. On that day, sickness will be forever eradicated from us. On that day, mortality will be ever eradicated from us. And we will be like Christ forever. And we'll be with those that have gone before us, who have put their faith in this new life, in this new self. And it starts right now. It starts today. And number four, kill off everything connected with the way of death. Kill off everything connected with the way of death. Now, I don't mean physically, literally kill. This is the illusion that the wording that Paul uses. But we have to do this. We've been raised with Christ to a new life, to a new self. We have embraced Christ as our new priority of life. And on the flip side of that, we are being raised with Christ is that we also die with Christ. Death to the old ways of life. Death, a death that makes a break with the power of sin as the controlling factor in our life. And the result is your life is now hidden with Christ in God. The result is putting these things to death, your life is hidden with Christ in God. He's hidden you away. Your new life is hidden away with Christ. Why do we hide things? We hide things to protect them, to keep them safe. We hide money in a safe, in a bank, some people under their mattress. You ever hide money from your spouse? You shouldn't do that. We hide food from our children because we don't want them to eat it. And none for us later on. Probably shouldn't do that either. But we're keeping these things safe. So the idea here is that our new life is safe with Christ. So we can't let deadly things into our hiding place. We can't let deadly things into to our new life, to our new self, because these are the most precious, valuable things that we have. If we let these deadly things into our new life, they will try to devour them and distract us and keep our life always having to reset. We can't let sexual immorality and impurity and lust and evil desires and greed, which is idolatry, into our new life, our new self. We can't worship those things as if they were God. We can't let anger, the type of anger that brings hate and unforgiveness and wrath and malice and slander, we got to put those things aside, because if they get to our new life, they will try to devour it. And don't lie to each other. That devours our new life. We can't grab whatever attracts our selfish nature. Doing the things that we think will bring us self-preservation. Those things brought self-preservation to the old life. But they will not bring self-preservation to the new life. They will devour it. We can't have a life shaped by wrong feelings, wrong actions, wrong ideas, instead of by Christ, by God. And God is angry at these things. Not the type of anger that brings hate and unforgiveness. That's the anger that we have in our hearts. But God is angry at these things because He knows they are going to kill us. God is always angry at death. So God wants us to get rid of the things that will kill our new life. And it wasn't long ago that we were doing all this stuff and not knowing any better. But now we know better. So we make sure it is all gone by faith, by grace, and Jesus is with us. He's helping us daily. He said, "And behold, I am with you always." So when Jesus was killed, and when He was raised, in some sacred way, we are killed and we are raised with Him. His past tense resurrection and our past tense yet future resurrection help us lift our eyes to the heavens above. It's a sacred mystery. We become like Jesus by putting our faith in the resurrection. To see the resurrected Christ and to orient our lives on Him. To live now and always this new life. So I encourage us to live for Jesus. There's a Living for Jesus slip in your bulletins. Just two things this week. Just sit and pray over these things. Talk to your spouse, your boyfriend, your mother, somebody in your life, somebody here at church. Talk to them about these questions. Number one, what is distracting you from Christ? I guess the number one thing that would distract us from Christ, we have to ask, do I believe that He is life? Or do I believe other things are life? Do I believe my family's life? And I believe we love these things. These things are part of our life, but they're not life. Christ is life, and He's over them. And He's what brings life to those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these things shall be added unto you. And number two, what are you doing daily to seek Him and set your mind on Him? I recommend a scripture plan if you don't have one. If you don't have a scripture plan, go into your app store or Google Play, whatever it is, and just type in Bible app. The first one that comes up is usually called Bible app. Just download that. And there are just hundreds and hundreds of Bible reading plans in there that you can start today. You can start tomorrow. Pray. If you don't know how to pray, if you struggle with prayer, someone has taught me how to pray, and I think, by the grace of God, I humbly say this, I think I can teach you how to pray. I think I can help you learn how to pray. So come to me. We'll set up a time, maybe 2, 3, 4 of us, and I can help teach you to pray. Just come to me and say, Pastor, I want to learn how to pray. And I will help you. Service, love, joy, peace, patience, the church, the Holy Spirit, all of these things, and even more and more, help us to keep resetting and keep seeking Christ. Because that's what Easter is all about. It's not just a one-day event. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Lives in us. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, would you bring the new life to someone today? Would somebody believe in the resurrection today? Would somebody confess Jesus with their mouth today? Believe that you've been raised from the dead and that you are alive forevermore. And believing that they can be changed by that resurrected power living in them. May somebody believe that today. I can't do this, Father. You can only do this. So begin to work on people's hearts. Thank you, Jesus. So if you would like to start the new life today, if you would like to start the new self today, would you like to put the old things behind you that were leading to death, and you would like to start the new life today, nobody looking around, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just want to see your hand so I can pray for you this week. And you can pray right there at your seat. If that's you, if you'd like to start the new life today, the new self today, can I just see your hand? Can you just put it up, put it right back down? Nobody's looking around. Every head bow, every eye closed. If you'd like to start the new life today, is that you? Is that you? Is that you? Can I see your hand? Put your hand up. Put it right back down. I'm just going to pray with you at your seat. You're going to pray at your seat. I'm going to pray for you this week. Is that you? Is that you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I'm going to assume everybody is a Christian then that has said yes to the Lord and desires to be so. So, Lord, would you let the same power that raised Jesus from the dead live in us? And, Lord, we would keep seeking you, keep setting our mind on the things above. Lord, would you help us to get rid of those things that would sneak in and try to steal our life that's hidden with Christ. Anger and rage and malice and sexual immorality and greed, oh God, all these things, and lying to each other. Lord, help us to reset our minds on you. Let the resurrected power of Jesus live in us. Live in us. Thank you, Lord. If you're able, would you stand? Let's begin to sing this song. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
The same power that raised Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm the raging sea, lives in us, lives in us.
Say thank you that your power lives in us, power to bring new life, a new self, power to help us walk away from things that would bring death to us. We ask that it would be so over this season of Easter, where we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Would you live in us, and we await that day when the dead in Christ shall rise and we'll be like you. Completely, because we've set our minds on you. And now, Lord, I ask that you would just bless your people this day. Lord, I ask that you would just be gracious to every person here, that you would just make your face shine upon every person here, and that you would give every person here, within the sound of my voice, you would give them your peace. And we thank you for this. We honor you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.